Welcome back to the podcast. I was talking a little bit off air, and I have a great guest coming up now. The gentleman's name is Don, and he's a scientist. And this guy is way smarter than me. And we were talking about the objections to solar and EDF coming into Heartland and Niagara County. And man, oh man, Don has addressed all of them. And hey, Don, thanks for doing the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate talking to you.
Yeah, I'm really going to enjoy this. So let's rip right into these objections. And then we'll cover why you're here as far as where you live and what you own. But what's the big objections that you're hearing against having a solar farm in Niagara County, Heartland?
One of the first ones is that I don't want to look at it. And another one is that it's going to destroy our way of life here in Heartland and Newfane. Those are two. Also, a lot of objections about the potential for contaminating the soil. Who's going to clean it up? What happens if they go out of business and things like that? And those are some of the major objections. Also, hunting. People are concerned that they won't be able to hunt anymore. But if you didn't have permission to hunt on the property in the first place, you still can't.
Right.
But if you did, in fact, you still can. So there's no real changes to hunting, although there are certain areas that would be off limits, so behind a fence. So there's that.
So as a scientist, you were addressing most of these from your point of view. I was fascinated. It's not often I'm quiet, Don. You had me shut up for about 5 minutes. That was pretty good accomplishment, because we've been digging into the downsides of a solar farm. And quite honestly, I couldn't even think of any. But man, you rattled off a bunch of them, but then you rattled off the facts to back them up. Let's start with, the hunting is the hunting. You're right. People shouldn't be hunting there if they're not supposed to anyway. So that's really off the table. And as far as looks go, I mean, what's the difference between a field of farm or field of corn and solar panels? I guess it's your preference.
It is. It's your preference, and it's a fair preference. However, do you want to look at an Amazon fulfillment factory in the farm?
You're so right. Yeah. And the traffic sense. And all the people that comes with it. Right.
Yeah. And not to be too hard on folks, but I lived through one in southern Indiana, and there was objections because they also wanted to have a rehabilitation clinic put up nearby. Because they know that some people who want to work entry-level jobs may be trying to get their life together. And this is in a period of time when the opioid crisis was going big.
Sure.
There was objection to having a clinic nearby so people could stay clean and go to work and better themselves. And so you got to take the good with the bad. This isn't that case, but there's no new business being built out here. An investment desert in some respects.
And we should mention that you're a resident, that this is directly going to impact as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not just a third-party scientist that's given your two cents. You are the one that's going to have to look at these things. And you're the one that's doing the homework to find out, listen, do I want these on my property or not? And I appreciate the fact that you're digging into what I didn't even think of. Okay, lead in the solar panels. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, there's a small amount of lead in the panels that's used for interconnects. The panels are sealed in glass and sandwiched between. It's not unlike the glass that would be in the windshield of your automobile. There's an additional polymer that holds everything together. Automobile batteries have many tens of times more lead in the batteries than the solar panels do.
Okay, so that's a myth.
The
lead is a myth, right? It's not a valid.
It doesn't leach out. The EPA has standards for grinding it to a certain size, trying to leach out the chemicals, and if it's below the required maximum is considered safe. I don't want to see them go to the landfill. And currently, the industry is struggling to build enough recycling centers. Is it going to be mandated or is it going to be economical? And that's still to be worked out. But the toxicity issue is really a non-issue.
Non-issue. Okay, myth. Busted. Mythbusters, me and Don. So what about the birds?
Go into more detail. Yeah.
What about the birds lighting on fire? That one's kind of silly.
Yeah, out west, it's been known that birds at solar concentrating facilities, they have a bunch of mirrors focused on a tower that gets really hot as a work fluid in it. And if a bird flies through close to the concentrator, yeah, they'll kill a bird. They'll kill birds. Birds have been known to try and land on solar panels in deserts. This is not the solar concentrators because they're big, they're shiny, they're blue, they think they're water, and birds will land on them, but that's not killing the birds. And windmills have an issue, so do power lines, so do tall buildings.
Sure.
Anybody who's ever driven a car a little bit too fast on a country road has hit a couple of birds too.
Oh, you got that right. So, especially in the early spring when the robins are going nuts, you got that right.
We have more problems with birds associated with eating insects that have been eating or been exposed to pesticides. We have a bigger problem with loss of habitat. Birds are great, but they don't live in a soybean field. They don't live in a cornfield. They live in open forest, open meadows. We don't have a lot of birds because we don't have continuous forests anymore out here. That kind of disappeared 170 almost 200 years ago. They started to diminish, and they've certainly diminished a lot more in the last 75 or 100 years.
So we're talking to Don, a scientist that is very much involved in the Heartland Solar Project with EDF Renewables, and we're kind of playing Mythbusters and all the myths that have been coming out lately and objections to the solar farm. So what else did we talk about? Well, we didn't cover, sheep and the sheep grazing and what they leave behind.
Yeah, they have to be tended. They have to be watered. There was some contention that having sheep in the fields, and if things get dry, the sheep dung can become a fire hazard. Third world countries use animal dung to burn their fires, or to use cook over. And even in more modern countries, smoking with dung is a real thing. But as far as it being a fire hazard, it doesn't really make sense. Anybody who has a cattle farm or goats or sheep around here, I don't think they're too concerned with
it's almost silly. It's almost wildfire. Silly, right? So that one's busted. And then what about the batteries and what did you call it, the explosion or?
Lithium batteries are, a battery fire. There was one in April a year ago in Arizona. There was a failure, but these batteries are in containers that have fire protection systems, and there's means for fighting them that the Niagara County fire response, emergency response team are aware of and are trained to deal with them, and they're not overly concerned about them. Batteries on cars that crash in an uncontrolled fashion don't have any associated fire protection are more of an issue than a storage battery in a shipping container in the middle of a field. And New York actually has some of the tightest regulations and across the country for installation of monitoring systems and fire suppression systems for these systems. And lithium batteries have only about a tenth of the energy per mass or per volume of a gallon of gasoline or gasoline.
Mm.
Diesel, propane also have more energy in them. So when somebody says I have a lithium battery container that has 7 kilotons of TNT's worth of explosive energy or explosive power. Well, similar mass, similar volume of gasoline would have nearly 100 times more energy. That's not to say we should ignore these risks. coming down the road full of gasoline can have still a whole lot more energy that's moving down the road than a lithium battery that's parked in the field somewhere.
So the battery is exploding if for no reason or whatever reason it might be, and being a major health issue in the area, Niagara County, is another busted myth.
There's no evacuation radius. Yeah, if something happened in the farm field in Heartland, the Roy Hart School doesn't have to be evacuated. Residents nearby don't have to be evacuated. And being able to detonate all the energy in a battery like that is really physically impossible.
Well, considering the trains that ride through that neighborhood with the with the chemicals they have in tow, I don't think it's compared to that, it's nothing.
Yeah, or gasoline truck. I live on Ridge Road, and propane and gasoline goes east and west here all the time. I would be more concerned about having a major accident like that on the road than I would on a stationary object that might catch fire or something like that in the middle of the field.
So all the big myths are busted. Really, there's no legit concern, and I've been digging podcast after podcast trying to find a real downside on this thing, because I always think there must be, but I have yet to find one. And you brought up some I never even thought of, and then you killed them at the same time. So it just makes me feel good, if that counts for anything. And I'm a neighbor. I'm in Niagara County, so it's not like I don't care.
Yeah, and I understand somebody may not want to look at it, but that's not really legit. Yeah, I get kind of trivial sometimes. We have Tonawanda, we have Lackawanna, but there's some Idawanas around town. I don't want to look at it.
So. Well, me and I, it's just my personal preference. Although I love stuff, vintage 70s type of stuff, because it conjures up my youth and looking at old vinyl albums and things like that. But when it comes to what I like to see, it's really a modern look. And I, at the end of the day, I think solar panels look pretty cool. When I ride by a field of them, especially on the thruway down by Batavia, I always think that's pretty cool. And plus, you get to witness our country and our state working to be green.
There's so much more energy available from the sun compared to every other source we have. It's incredible. If you were to look at a proportional diagram of how much we get from the sun compared to nuclear, to coal, to hydroelectric, and on down the line, it's stunning to see how much energy we can get from the sun. There's also a component of people who believe that solar farming, or using farmland to produce energy, it's not really farming. But we convert sunlight and water into soybeans, corn, food, legitimate needed resources. But if I convert that into another commodity that helps the community, and I don't burn coal, which dumps a lot of other toxic materials into the atmosphere, contributes to the greenhouse gases and all that. It's just no comparison. And it's really unfair to say to a farmer who has the right to farm that you can grow corn, you can grow soybeans, but you can't produce energy off your land. They can earn more producing energy than they can by leasing their land in many cases. And a lot of farmers out here, the dairy farmers and people who farm for income, are declining and have been declining for decades. And the future doesn't look that great for them. A number of these farmers are getting older, and they don't have 401ks and big fat savings plans in order for them to care for themselves and their kids or the rest of their family. This is a big deal for them. And there's a lot of production of land, or a lot of overproduction of land. There's more land than we actually need in this area. Now, we still need to feed the country, we still need to feed the world, but we've gotten so efficient on the dairy farms and on other farms. They work their ass off too, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But we're not starving here in this country, but we are consuming more electricity from dirty sources than we really should be.
Right. Man, you just debunked everything. So let's talk about how you fit into this equation and being a local landowner as well. I mean, not are we lucky or what to have? I mean, what's the odds of a scientist actually owning part of the land that a solar farm's going into? And I mean, to me, that just blows my mind. And there, well, you're doing all the homework, because I can tell you're not the kind of guy. If this thing was bad for your farm and for all of us, you'd say no.
No, I mean, I breathe the air. You know, I eat the food off the land. My grandkids come and visit here. So my wife and I bought a property on Ridge Road, an old cobblestone with 34 acres on it. I've been a frustrated farmer in a lot of ways for a long time. Always had a garden. And you know, here we have a vineyard, an orchard, an abandoned vineyard, and another abandoned orchard to boot. This place used to be a more successful farming and fruit operation 60 or 70 years ago than it is now.
Sure.
Things have changed, and not everybody can afford or wants to do this. So I can afford to do this because I have the luxury of time. I was able to retire at 65, and this is my retirement plan. I want to stay here and continue to be active on the farm, doing what I can. We're involved UFC pollinating program, and we're on that path to try and restore some of the areas that had been farmed previously and bring them into either fruit production or the vineyard production, or as a pollinating field. We have an apiary here. We have 8 hives. And a lot of it is what we consume, what we give to other people. We're not making a commercial, a big deal out of it. So we have some 10 or 12 acres on the north part of the property that we were actively trying to turn into a pollinating pasture, and we're trying to get bigger when this came along. The EDF proposition of planting pollinating species underneath the panels, raising them with sheep, sounds great. And if we can make this happen and give the land some rest for a few decades and help the farmers and put some money into the community through the payment in lieu of taxes and other fees that they can bring to the school districts and to the towns, stabilizing taxes, I think it's a win-win. And we really should be looking at it, if for no other reason than it does really help the community. There's jobs to be had. Some of them are permanent. Some of them are not. It does bring, over the period of performance, money into the community for services to the schools, local fire departments, and the towns in general. There's also talk about, are we going to get any of this benefit to the residents in terms of some discount or reduction in energy costs? And if we continue to subsidize coal, who hasn't been able to do that in the past, I think we may be shortchanging ourselves.
So you got every angle of this thing covered, Don. I'm so lucky to get you to do the show, and then being, like I said, it's just so lucky that you're a scientist and you're actually a landowner. So you're doing your homework, making sure that it's safe for all of us. And I love the pollinating. See, that's something I never thought about. And giving the land some rest, 40 years maybe. And you said that land, you know for a fact, has been heavily used for 200 years.
Yeah, I got the papers going back. To be fair, you know, in 1830, 1820, there wasn't the kind of intensive use that we've seen since the, you know, the 40s, 50s, and 60s. The people worked really hard back then. You know, they didn't get electricity out here until, you know, right around 1920, 1925. You know, and, the telegraph was, you know, less than 30 years old, 100 years ago. And so things have changed. And we kind of think that this, what we see now, is the way it's always been, and it's great. It's pretty good, quite frankly, but it can be better. And honestly, in the last couple of decades, you talk to some farmers who've come and gone here, it's not as easy as it used to be.
Right.
And it was never really that easy for the farmers. But, you know, wood, coal, oil and gas, you know, solar, you know, they're not going away.
No.
But we're going to have to change the way we're making electricity. You know, our electrical energy is only available right now, or has been, you know, by collecting and burning stuff. You know, we're mining, we're cutting wood, you know, hydropower, oil, gas, wind, sun. You know, those are all things of the future that are just going to change proportions. And if we can stop burning things, and if we can stop using land that doesn't need to be used intensively with the pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides, that's good, because there's a lot of things that depend on clean soil. You know, everything that we put on the land here heads north to Lake Ontario. On its way,
that's
there,
a great point.
It doesn't care what's in the way. So you know, we just need to be more careful with, you know, how we do what we do, and if we have the advantage to get free, or the opportunity to get free energy, you know, from the sun without burning a whole lot of stuff, that I can't see a downside to that.
Nope. Oh, well, is there anything else you can think of that we maybe didn't cover? Man, you're great to talk with. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it. Don't flatter me too much.
Was there anything we left out, though?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. We can't get to the future without some kind of change, you know, and we're all, you know, trying to decide how best, you know, to get there. You know, taking the position of no change, that really denies the fact that we're here exactly because changes were brought by our predecessor, you know, actively or accidentally, and they're going to guide us towards the future. And our future is going to belong to whoever is here, and how they're going to carry us into the, you know, carry on.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you, thanks for my grandchildren's grandchildren, because that's the difference that you're making. I mean, think about when they pull the solar panels off in 40 years or whenever they're going to do it, how great that land is going to be, what great shape it's going to be in, and ready to rock and roll and feed this young generation then.
Yeah. Or the animals that we really do depend on. The panels are just, you know, posted in the ground. There's not going to be a lot of cleanup. This isn't Hooker Chemical. This isn't Love Canal. This is something different. This is not anything close to Somerset and the cleanup that's going to have to go on there after burning coal there for so long.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine. Well, thank you again for doing my stupid little show. And it's EDF Renewables and Don, a scientist, up on Lake Ontario in Heartland. And we'll be right back.